You there?
That was not me this time. I swear I was not touching it. I have no idea what happened. I'm in the middle of talking to myself.
I do that all the time. So that's nothing. That's all good. Hopefully it won't.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we're good.
Okay.
Technology,
I'm
right?
I'm literally staying far away from it right now, so there's no excuse. I'm not touching it. But, yeah, I mean, who would have thought that homicide detective would do a paranormal show, not scared of snakes? Isn't there anything you're scared of, Steve? Anything?
Oh, I'm scared of a lot of things. Mostly politicians, but
we're all scared of them.
Yeah, I'm not really, there's nothing. I'm not scared of any man. I'm not scared of anything that may happen. I know I can handle myself in any situation. I'm scared for the future of our country, and I'm scared for my daughter and my granddaughter dealing with what this country is turning into. That's what I'm scared of. I'm not really scared of any human or other than what's going to happen, because this world is a very different place than I grew up in. And, being 60 years old, I've been around a bit. It's just, that's the only thing that scares me, is where this country's headed. And like we talked about it, it's starting to turn. I think the tide's starting to turn, where people are waking up to the nonsense of the woke left agenda, and taking back our country. But other than that, there's not much that scares me. I don't like spiders. I'll tell you that. That I don't like. I don't like spiders. And I get some big ones. I get these wolf spiders inside the house every once in a while. But, other than that, I don't worry about myself personally. I worry about where we're headed and the future of this country. But, that's just me being a patriot and being who I am.
Right. Well, my fear is humans.
Well, it's funny. I get that question a lot. Aren't you afraid of the paranormal? I'm like, the paranormal never tried to kill me, but I can tell you right now, the living certainly tried to kill me more than once. And that's who I worry about, is the living, not the dead. But then again, I don't have your abilities or, Cindy's abilities. So you guys are in a different realm. I deal with the real realm as far as people and what they do. I mean, to me, the most people ask me, what's the most dangerous animal on the planet? And I always tell them it's humans.
People.
I've seen what they can do, and I've seen it up close and personal, and it's not pretty. And I don't think everybody should have to see that, but I think a lot of people need to wake up and realize what's happening in the world, and what human beings are capable of doing to each other. It's that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
What people are actually capable of doing.
Yeah.
And I've seen some horrific things, and it's just you're talking about Beirut. I mean, I saw heads on sticks, stuff like that. These people are animals. These terrorists are animals, and the things that they do and what's going on right now is pretty scary. And and when I see these students in colleges supporting Palestine, they have no idea what they're talking about. These people would get killed in a minute if they were in mm-hmm. Gaza. You know what I mean? Yeah. They would kill every one of them, especially like the OBG. Yeah, the OBGQ, whatever it is, that whole thing that they're backing up.
Alphabet, yeah. I call it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, knock yourself out. Do what you want. But you think that they would not kill you in a friggin' minute if you were anywhere near Palestine?
Yeah, no.
They throw you off a roof.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how pretty your wig or your dress looks. You know what I mean? Don't do it in a heartbeat.
You walk around Gaza with a blue hair, you can see what happens to you. Trust me. And I got no problem with people with blue hair, but, don't support people you have no idea what they're capable of doing to you.
Yeah. They'll snap them in half like a twig.
Oh, yeah. And it's sad that, you know, they're not educated enough to know what the hell's going on. These, you know, these are living at home with mommy and daddy and don't have any responsibilities whatsoever, but they're supporting people that they have no clue what they're doing. And that's the sad part about it.
So you know,
people say, oh, they're young and stupid. But yeah, I was young. I wasn't stupid. I was raised right.
Well, we have common sense. We had common sense back then, and we grew up with common sense. People need to take their heads out of their butts and take their blindfolds off and see the reality that, you know, they're not invisible. If it's affecting us, it's affecting them as well. It's just they choose to ignore to see that.
Well, absolutely.
Or accept it. Or they see it, but they don't want to accept it because they never want to admit for once in their life that they're wrong. And it's okay to be wrong. Just fix it.
Well, how do you upset the left? You hit them with facts, and it drives them crazy when they get hit with facts and truth.
Oh, you know, I've done that many times. Trust me.
You know, people listening to this is going to say, oh, he's a right-wing lunatic. He's a MAGA guy and all this other shit. I really don't care. Don't bother me in the least. I'm who I am. I'm not anything. You know, I'm an independent. I have my own views on a lot of different things.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not gonna get into it, but I do love my country. I'm patriotic. And there's no way in hell I would ever support a terrorist organization.
No.
Over our only ally in the Middle East. Are you crazy? Are you insane? They're blaming Israel for being attacked. An unprovoked attack. They're blaming Israel for it. Explain that to me. Oh, it's Israel's fault they got attacked. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. They like to play the blame game without taking responsibility for once in their life.
Well, if somebody came into your house and tried to kill you or rob you, do you have a right to defend yourself? You're absolutely right. You have 110% right.
Uh-huh.
Which is Israel's doing the same damn thing. They didn't ask for this, but they woke a sleeping giant, and now they're paying for it. So they just don't want. They don't like how they're fighting back. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, you knock on someone's door in the middle of the night. Don't expect, you know, to be greeted with flowers. There will be something else in your face.
I posted a video a couple of weeks ago. They were interviewing young mothers, and they asked them, would you kill for your kids? And the fucking answer should be 100. I would kill everybody for my children.
Without thinking twice. Yeah.
Without thinking twice. And they're like, well, I'd kill somebody. I can't. Oh, I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't kill somebody for your child? Are you crazy? I mean, that's the motherhood of today, that they wouldn't kill somebody for their child.
That's sad.
I killed 20 people for my kid. I mean, it's not even a question.
I'll go to war for my kids. I really don't care whose feelings I hurt. Nowadays, the cancel culture, and you say something, you get canceled. Listen, for everybody out there that's listening, this is my view, okay? This is my point of view. Cancel culture can kiss our asses, because my thing is, who the hell do they think they are to be able to cancel people? You're not God. You're not the devil. You're not in charge of us. You did not give birth. You're not our parents. So who the hell are you to tell us adults what to do in the first place? And not everybody needs to have the same view. You know what I'm saying? You have a different view. Fine. If you want to discuss it. Just don't cry about it. But if you don't have a thick skin and you want to get into political conversations, then I suggest you to grow a couple of scales before you come and talk to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the cancel culture is going the other way, and they don't like it now. Like this, the president of Columbia College in New York, they're getting ready to oust his ass because, you know, allowing students to, you know, support Hamas, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you have all these CEOs, they want a list of all the people that are protesting against Israel so that they don't hire them. And all of a sudden they're like, whoa, you can't do that. That's not right. That's the same. It's cancel culture. You want to be a dick on one side. You want to cancel people. Well, now you're getting canceled and they don't like it now. Now it's on the other side. And, oh, you can't cancel us. a lot of these students are like, well, I signed the paper. I didn't know what I was signing. What, you're supposed to, you're in college. Aren't you smart that you're in college? You just signed something without reading it?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to be part of the cool group and just sign shit and you don't know what you're doing? So, you know, I don't buy that crap either.
No. And apparently nowadays people can get into college without any degree whatsoever, with no certificate, no high school diploma, no nothing. Anybody could go and do whatever the hell they want. But the thing is, again, take your heads out of your asses, people. Like, seriously, enough is enough. Like, I'm personally fed up with it. I'm not walking on eggshells anymore. You know, somebody gives me an attitude. There's no need to be mean to each other and give an attitude and talk shit or whatever. Like, you don't know me. I don't know you, right? So who are you to judge me? Yeah, you see videos or even you. Like, people see the shows and they assume stuff. Stop assuming yourself, you know, things, because that's when you make an ass out of yourselves. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, listen.
Well, it's ironic. I had a woman, and it's very few. I posted something about, I don't know, something patriotic or something against Biden, who I can't stomach. They're very core of me. And she wrote, oh, you're one of them. Bye-bye, Steve. I'm like, bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
You're one of them? That sounds kind of racist to me, right? You're one of them?
Yeah. What do you mean by one of them?
Yeah, well, you know, and you got Hillary Clinton saying that we need to be reprogrammed because we love our country. You know, it's just ironic how, you know, the left is just like, oh, I can't, they scream tolerance, but they're the most intolerant people on the planet.
If you don't like our country, get the hell out. Cher, I saw Cher post recently. She wants to leave.
Yeah, that was the post I put up. It was about a guy screaming about.
Oh, you put that post up too? I've seen so many lingering around the internet lately.
It's like, you don't like this country, get the fuck out. And this woman posted, oh, you're one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. I love my country. Yeah, you don't like it, get the fuck out.
Right.
It's that simple. There's plenty of other countries out there if you don't like this one. I don't know one celebrity. I love all the celebrities. Oh, if Trump gets into office, I'm leaving the country. Not one of them ever left. Not one.
Mm-mm.
All right. Why are they still here? Get the fuck out.
Yeah, they said that in the beginning when they were running. Trump was running. And they said, if he gets elected, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Why are you still here? Why? Like, they think, we're celebrities and we're this big shot. Listen, you're in front of cameras just like I am and everybody else in this goddamn universe, okay? Everybody can be in front of cameras. It takes a real person to be a real celebrity. If you're going to think like a piece of shit, act like a piece of shit, trash the country that's given you the opportunity and the job to make money and be on TV and get famous for your stupid ass roles that you play sometimes, not you, them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's why I'll clap for you.
Bravo. Kiss my ass. Like, you ain't shit if you're not a normal human being. I don't give a shit if you're in front of cameras or not. To me, everybody is the same. But if you're going to say you don't like our country because of Trump, because, you know, and Trump is just the beginning. I have a feeling there's like a lot more other politicians that are going to come in and the left is going to cry about every single one of them that doesn't agree with their views. And they're going to try to do the same thing they did to Trump. So this is just the beginning of the end of not humanity, because I don't believe the world's going to end anytime soon. Like, people say that. No, it's not. People need to shut up when it comes to that. But it is. It's already started something in between the people, because they watch the news. They listen to the fake governments out there that are not about the people. They're about themselves and their pockets and their money. So, yeah, there's a lot of shit that goes on there that people need to open their eyes and realize exactly what is really going on. And humans should not turn against each other. You know what I'm saying? I've seen, like, I have reptiles when people say you can't put them together because they'll kill each other. And then I end up putting them together. Even reptiles that are aggressive toward each other tolerate, somehow become friends, and they're able to live in the same enclosure with each other. You're well, telling you me if reptiles can do it, human beings cannot do it? No, because they listen to the bullshit politicians.
Yeah, I mean, you see it every day. I watch all these videos with animals, you know, Labradors playing with tigers because they're friends.
Yeah.
You know, they grow, you know, and normally in the wild, he would eat the dog, but they're in an environment where they love each other, and it's amazing to watch. I mean, like I said, 20, 30 years ago, I could talk to a liberal friend of mine, and we could have a conversation and have an argument about it. But at the end of the day, we're still friends. Today, people like, you know, they'll unfriend you on Facebook because you posted something, you know, and that's one of the reasons I got off Facebook. It was the same, I call it fake book, because it's the same shit. It's rhetoric from both sides. So I just couldn't take it anymore. You know, I just like, all right, yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I get it. I'm sick of hearing it. I have my views. You have your views. Fine. That's just it. You know, so social media is really, I think it's destroying everything. It's part of life now. You know, it's like years ago. Years ago we didn't have remotes for our TV. I mean, I was the remote. My father made me get up and change the fucking channel, right? I had to stand there and move the antenna because he didn't have good reception to watch a movie. I had to stand with a freaking antenna so he could watch a movie. You know, I was the remote.
You know? Yeah.
So, and now, if I lose the remote, I lose my mind. If I can't find my remote, like, if I walk out of the house with my cell phone, I'm like, fuck, I don't have my cell phone. You know, it's just part of life now. And it's unfortunate with technology, it becomes, you know, we become dependent on it. And it's just part of our life to the point of, well, how did we function before? I mean, I came from a generation where there was no cell phones, no nothing. There was the house phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, you know, that's how you reach people. That was it.
Yep.
You know, today, if you don't respond to somebody's text within 2 minutes, like, what the hell? You ghosted me? Ghosting, I'm fucking busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I got shit to do. I ain't got time to answer every text that comes across my phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get, I guess I'm not important enough. Grow up. What are you, fucking five?
Yeah.
I'm busy, you know. And most of the men I hang out with get it. Like, we don't get back to each other. You know, I'll never get from the guys I hang out with. Like, oh, hey, bro, you never answered me back. It'll be like, hey, douchebag, I sent you a text. You all right? Everything okay? Because it's more of the, you know, if you don't answer me, I just want to make sure you're all right. Not the bullshit of, oh, you ghosted me? You know, I love that term. You're ghosting me.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, ironically.
That's the paranormal to it now. You're ghosting me. Oh, goodness gracious. No, I know. I go through that sometimes, too, especially, like, with clients when they text me. Because I told them, like, nobody's allowed to call me. If they want to contact me, it's either through text message, if you have my number, which is my business number if you're a client of mine. If you're not, then you don't have my business number. Or, you know, you can reach me through my email or my website. Yeah. And when I get those phone calls, I yell at them and stuff, but in the beginning, when they first sign a contract with me and they retain me to basically help them out or whatever the case is, I tell them, listen, if I don't respond to your text messages within 30 seconds after you message me, I'm busy. You know what I'm saying? If I don't contact you now, I'll contact you on my next business days or business hours or whatever. But, you know, sometimes you got to put your foot down and be like, hey, listen, don't be so sensitive. That's the problem nowadays. People are sensitive.
Yeah.
I grew up back in the day too, where there was no cell phones. And then the pagers came out and I thought it was the coolest shit in the world.
I tell you the truth. I didn't get a pager until my wife was pregnant for my daughter. And that was almost 33 years ago. 33 years ago. That's when I got a pager. I didn't have a pager before that. And I was working in, I was working in narcotics, I think, or I forget where I was working, but I was working. Well, I was on the run. Every night was, you know, it
something.
Was we were rocking. We were rocking and rolling every night.
Mm-hmm.
But when she got pregnant, like, oh, get it, you got to get a pager. But God forbid, in Brooklyn, Well, New York City anyway, if you could find a fucking payphone that worked, it would be a miracle.
I remember the payphones. I missed them.
And they never worked. And who had a quarter or a dime to call anybody, you know? So it was pretty funny. Yeah. You know, you'd have to make a collect call. I said, yeah. Listen, just put the number in 911 if it's an emergency. If it's just some bullshit, bring home milk. Don't bother me, you know.
Yeah. I'll go back out and get it. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the payphones. It's funny because imagine like I would go home from school. I would walk home from school. And if I wanted to like stop at Burger King on the way home, for example, and grab a burger and, you know, some food on the way home, I had to call. And it was like, okay, if my mom decided to answer and accept my call or not, you know, a lot of times it went to voicemail. And those times, you know, you're paying to make a call, even if it's collect call. How come I never let you leave a voicemail on a collect call?
No.
It would not. And then the adults should be like, well, what took you so long to get home? I'm like, I called and you did not, you decided not to answer it, you know?
Yeah. It was funny when I was a kid, talking about this the other day, my father used to fall asleep because he drove a truck and he'd come home sometimes and he'd fall asleep on the couch and change would fall out of his pocket. So I would take the change. And back then, White Castles, it was 16 cents for a burger. So if you had a dollar's worth of change, you had like five burgers. You were good to go. You know, yeah. And then me and my buddies would all pool our money and we'd go to freaking White Castle and buy as many burgers as we can get. And we'd sit on the corner and eat White Castles, which a change that fell from my father's pants. And, you know, I was trying to explain that to my nephew's son the other day, my niece's son a couple of months ago at my sister's house. I said, yeah, you know, for a dollar, you were able to eat a couple of burgers. He goes, really? I'm like, yeah. He just, he couldn't comprehend, you know, because, I mean, you go to lunch today. Me and my buddy went to lunch today. The two of us, we split some wings, a couple of sandwiches, two beers each, and it was a fucking $70 bill. I'm like, you know, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. He had a tip, it's $90. I'm like, you know, what the hell is this shit? You know, $90 for lunch? You used to be able $5 and go out and eat like a king. So it's just bad times right now. Bad times.
It's better to stay home and cook at home. And to be honest, I prefer homemade food nowadays a lot more than I've ever done because there's no flavor. The restaurants are slacking on making food with flavor. So it's like false advertisement. It doesn't taste good. So maybe they should add a little flavor to food nowadays. But yeah, I mean, and then the funny thing is they force you to tip them. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's common sense. You have to tip. But for them to ask, you know, oh my God. So I called Domino's a few days ago and ordered Domino's pizza because my kids were, you know, they crave pizza and mama does what they want. So I was ordering pizza and then I just paid over the phone with my card, right? So I'm giving them my card number and then she goes, okay, well, before I push it through, would you like to add a tip to the driver? What?
I'll tip him when he gets you.
They have no shame. You know, they ask for so much from us, but yet they have no shame to ask. I mean, back in the day, if you tipped us, oh my God, the world was ours. Oh, you know what I'm saying? But now it's like there's no shame in the game. Like they will literally ask, do you want to tip the driver? So my response is, don't worry about me tipping the driver. You don't tell me what to do. I give you my card number. You're charging for the order, okay? The delivery. I'll take care of the driver when he gets here. And do not worry about how much I tip him because that's none of your business. You know how stupid they feel when I put them in their place? Mm. They don't ask stupid questions and you will not get a stupid response.
a lot of the service industry today is really bad. They don't even thank you when you tip them.
No.
That's why it's funny because people like, well, Steve, you only go to like five different places when you hang out. I'm like, yeah, because I'm appreciated where I go. I'm not going to go to a bar or a restaurant and I leave a 25% tip and get not even just take the money and not even come back and say thank you. You know, that pisses me off. And I always tip in cash. I'll put a meal on credit card or debit card, but I always tip in cash.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and I'll tell them, listen, the cash is tip. Put the meal on the card. They come back, and none of them even say thank you. I'm like, I'm giving you a fucking 25% tip, not even a thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
No.
You know,
I stopped holding my breath on their thank yous. And then when you do actually say thank you for something, like, we're really thankful. So, you know, to be polite, thank you. Their response is, uh-huh, yep, no problem. What the fuck happened to you? Welcome.
Yeah, well, I blame that on the parents. I don't blame that on them as much anymore. I blame the parents for that.
Right, right. It's the adults. The adults
I blame how they're being raised, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, but...
Yeah.
Is what it
and
is.
Then people wonder why, like, when I take my kids out, how polite my kids are. They literally hold the door open for other people when we're walking into a place. You know, excuse me, thank you, please, you know, all the manners that a parent should teach their kids. People come up to me and they're like, they pull me to the side, they're like, can we ask how your kids are so well behaved? Yeah, at home, of course, it's family behind closed doors. In the comfort of your own home, kids do act like little brats sometimes, to where we want to bash our own heads into a wall and be like, why? You know, and that's kids, but they're my kids. You know what I'm saying? But when they leave this house, when they leave and they walk out this door, they respect everybody. They don't care who you are, where you came from. They respect everybody. And you're absolutely right. It's the parents' fault. I've said this many times before myself as well. The parents, you know, I'm old school. You're old school. I'm raising my kids to be respectful. There's times when, you know, my kids will sit here and reminisce about something that happened a few months ago or a couple years ago. And do you remember when... Mom, when we were little, Mom used to, like, pull over on the side of the road, or even just, you know, right when we were in the middle of the street, but stopped at a red light. She would throw her car into park, jump out, open the backseat door, and smack us because we did not listen to her. Yeah, that's me. That's me. And sometimes kids need a good ass whooping in order to be the way they are. So those who are out there asking questions about, well, how come your kids, especially nowadays, that are very respectful, that's because they have parents like me and my husband, because we're both old school. We don't play around. And, you know, I got my ass beat. So what privilege do these kids they have not to get their ass beat? You know what I'm saying?
You watch television today or a movie and they portray kids being so disrespectful to the parents in movies and TV. And I'm like, all right, so you're showing the world that this is okay. This behavior is good. This is normal.
Nope. Nope.
You know, my mother was, by the time I was 7, my mother was 50. And I was the 6th child. She was playing no games. Her attitude was, I got hit with the wooden spoon first, and then she talked to me.
But, yep. Oh, I got my butt beat, and my kids know too. Like, you know, I've said this the last few years since, you know, Wi-Fi became so popular in everybody's house. How are you able to see your kids' faces? The way you see your kids' faces coming out of their room is just unplug the Wi-Fi, because when the Wi-Fi is on, there's no way in hell your kids are coming out of their room. There's no way in hell of your kids listening to you and even know that, hey, they have parents that exist. You know what I'm saying? So the way I do it nowadays, and, you know, people are going to cry about it, like, oh, that's so mean. You can't do that to your kids. No, fuck you.
Maybe
you should do that to your kids. Because when I say it's bedtime, my kids have a bedtime. I don't care if you're 16, 17, 18, 28 years old. You live under my roof. These are my rules. You know what I'm saying? And when it's bedtime, I notice that sometimes they want to fall asleep watching to a movie. But if I notice that they're watching the entire movie and not falling asleep to it, or a show or a video or whatever they're doing and watching and listening to, I go and unplug the Wi-Fi. I take the wire into my room, and I goddamn dare these kids to come in my room and demand it back. They will not dare to do so. So what they know is, once the internet goes off, oh shit, mom's pissed off. I don't even go and confront them anymore. I just simply unplug it and I go to sleep.
Well, years ago, you were punished by going to your room. Now that's their haven. You're not punishing.
Oh, no. Kids. Yeah. Yeah. But now, no.
You punish them by taking away a cell phone, their computer, shutting the internet down. That's how you punish them.
I've done that. I still do that. I've taken their phones away from them. I turn the internet off. I've taken their laptops away. And you have to. You have to. Because nowadays, the shit that's on the internet, like my kids know they can come and talk to me about anything they want. And I will, you know, I'm straight and I'll be blunt with them and I'll be like, yeah, this is okay. And no, that's not okay. But, you know, if I see a little behavioral change towards what's been put on the internet and what they watch, I redirect them really fast. I correct them really fast. I'm like, you're not going to go down this road. So, yeah, I do blame the internet, too, a lot.
Yeah,
you don't have to be 18 years old to post certain adult stuff, apparently, nowadays. And it's pathetic. It's sad. And, you know, we unfortunately, parents have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's bullshit. We live in today. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's bullshit, but whatever. So, what is your TikTok? Because I'm going to have people, if you want, you could tell people your TikTok and they can.
No, I have a name on there, right? Is that? I think it's just my name. And then I got to look it up. Hold on. So I remember for some reason, I had so it's my last name and the number 5. Next to it. It's my full name, Stephen DeShavi with 5. And it's a picture of me sitting at a desk in a sport coat and black shirt. It's a public, it's open to the public, so anybody can follow me. My Instagram, I don't, it's private, so I don't really, I had shut down my old Instagram for personal reasons, and I opened a new one about a year ago, but it's just, you know, people I knew from the past, and that's about it. But, people still find me on there. They send me friend requests. I just don't accept them. But TikTok, anybody can follow me. And you'll see my TikTok. It's pretty funny. It's eclectic as it gets. You know, I posted a picture of, you know, a video of a baby elephant curtsying, trying to get milk from these people. It was the cutest thing ever. And then right after that, I put something up about Iran threatening us, you know, and then every veteran, you know, and it was kind of funny because every veteran jumping up and down, like, you know, they showed a bunch of veterans like, yeah, okay, bring it on.
Right. Good. I mean, you know, your opinion is your opinion and everybody has, we're all entitled to it. And if those, you know, like you said, when they have like some kind of like weird comments, then don't you don't need to watch it. Don't follow us.
Yeah. I mean, years ago, when they, you know, the network would be like, oh, he needs to take down this post. And I, you know, that's when I got real annoyed and shut down Facebook. I had no more fan Facebook page. I'm like, this is who I am. All right. You know, I'm not going to change who I am just because I'm on television. And
yeah,
I mean, all of Hollywood is obviously left as it gets, and I'm not right as I'm just me, and I have my beliefs and my opinions about stuff, but you're not going to change who I am because I'm on television. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like, what do you think? You're threatening me with this crap about, oh, he's got to take that down. I remember during the riots, I posted something about, oh, you can riot and not wear a mask, but I can't go to church because of COVID, but you can riot. That's okay. And, you know, everybody got all up in arms. Oh, can you take that post down? I'm like, fuck you. I'm not taking it down.
Yeah.
There's people rioting on top of each other, but you're telling my, you know, people that are religious, they can't go to church. There's something seriously wrong. Or you can't go visit your family member that's in the hospital. Or you can't go to a funeral, Paula, and, you know, stuff like that. But yet you can riot and burn down cities, and that's fine. You know, you don't have to
wear a mask. Because it's all one-sided with them.
Well, it's the media. The media pushes an agenda, and that's basically what it boils down to. And the problem with, I mean, I grew up listening to the news, and I never knew what the people, you know, the hosts on the news channel, I never knew what their political beliefs were. All they did was report the news.
Yeah.
That was it. Good, bad, or indifferent. I didn't know what Roger Grimsby or Bill Buttels, what their political views were in New York on Channel 7. I never knew. Because they just told you what was going on, and that was it. And all of a sudden, CNN, which I call Communist News Network, they started pushing their agenda. And then everybody else followed. You know, so now there's nobody actually reporting the news. The BBC used to report the news in England. Now they're far left as well. They just went totally left. They're like the CNN of England. So it's, you know, and then you watch like Fox News or news, and it's totally to the right. So it's like, I just want to find out what's going on. Could somebody just please tell me what's happening without an opinion on one side or the other? Just show me a news network that does that, and I'm gladly watch. I just want to know what the fuck is going on.
So we can be prepared for it.
And that's it. I don't want to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying about opinions are like assholes, right? That's the truest statement as anything. Everybody's got them. I don't give a fuck. Just tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
You know? But it just, you know, everybody's got an agenda, one side or the other, which is, when it comes to media, you know, it's just, so I listen to podcasts mostly. I watch, you know, I hate YouTube, but I go on YouTube and I watch mostly podcasts that are by former cops or former military guys, because that's the only thing I can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing else that I can really relate to. And, you know, I watch this guy, Mike Ritlin, he's a former Navy SEAL, and his podcast is called Mike Drop. And he's like, Mike, this is Mike Drop, where we don't give a shit about your feelings. Where we don't give a shit about your feelings and go choke yourself. And it's hysterical. You know, he wrote a book called Unfuck America. And, you know, it's about how things have changed so much. And so I watch his podcast. I watch this guy, Sean Ryan. I watch Jocko Willick. I watch, who's the other guy I watch? There's a few of them I watch. I got a whole list that I subscribe to. But it's stuff that I can relate to. And it's men. You know, not to be misogynistic or being sexist. It's just men talking about men's stuff that I can relate to. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not watching the guy, you know, I'm not watching a podcast talking about how, you know, men could have babies and, you know, stuff like that. So it's just,
well, the sooner they realize that men can never get pregnant, the better for them.
Hmm. Yeah, well. Well, you know, you watch, you know, people just, they dance around it. They just, a birthing person. What do you mean? You mean a woman? No, a birthing person. No, it's a woman. Only a woman can give birth. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, like I said before, 6 billion people born on the planet, all of them born from a woman. That's it. Men never gave birth, ever. So it's that simple. I don't give a shit if you identify as a squirrel. Doesn't matter. You can identify all day long what you want to be, but only a woman can have a baby. That's it. It's that simple. And when you try to shove that down my throat, that's where I have the problem. Telling me that I have to believe that a man can have a baby. No. No. Common sense, right? Once again, it's common sense.
Even my kids know that. And we don't waste our time watching videos like that. I mean, they're all over the place. And I'm just like, listen, my blood pressure, and I don't need to raise it. And my health is a lot more important to me. Otherwise, I will, you know, have my manager find a way to contact that person. And then I will expose them. And that's not going to get pretty, you know. Mm. But it's annoying. It's really annoying. For the record, there's two genders, a male and a female, whether you have a vagina or a penis. There's no anything in between, like, because they try to say there was, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 different genders, the last 2 years or 3 years. No, kiss my ass. That's not the problem. That's not the reality. The problem is that they're pushing this agenda. And then it went from 7 or 8 different genders. I don't know. Are you a fucking spider? Are you a snake? Yeah. Are you a horse? Are you a cow? What the fuck are you? You know what I'm saying? What do you mean other genders? Like, give it a break. Enough is enough. And most importantly, men can never get pregnant. I have always said this. Listen, if a man, and I'm mostly on the guy's side, on the men's side, because there's too many sexist women out there, and I don't have anything against women, just those who, you know, women power, but yet you guys are talk the talk, not walk the walk, and you guys think that, I mean, if we ever had a woman president, I would jump off a bridge. I'm just saying that much. And I'm a woman myself, but I do not agree with having a woman president. We have too many hormones. We're probably going to start World War 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 100 until people decide never to vote for a woman president. There's too many hormones and menopause involved in that shit, and I'm not going to deal with it. But I mean, it's the truth, right? But when it comes to, and then when it comes to, you know, genders and shit like that, I've always said, if a man ever miraculously God came down, and I believe God has to come down to make this happen physically, if a man actually ever got pregnant, that will be the first and the last time, because they're going to tell the entire universe not to ever get pregnant. I'm just saying, you guys cannot handle pregnancy. You cannot. Imagine getting kicked in the balls 100,000 times worse.
Yeah.
It's painful. Totally. And we do have a little higher tolerance of pain. I mean, there's a lot of men that have more, which I'm very proud of. But, you know, when it comes to giving birth, we have two different body parts. That's where there's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, that can, you know, not no pun intended. But you get what
that's
I'm saying?
That's all right. I'm take offense.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I have heard this all my life. So that's why I just blurted out. Sorry. But that's just me. Hey, I'm straightforward. That's why I have a lot of people that follow me. And you know, I have a great big of fans that are like, oh, my God, we 100% agree with what you say. But it is the reality. I don't give a shit who the fuck you are. It is what it is in reality and real life. Yeah. And if you try to alter it or change it, that's just in your head. That's not what reality really is. You know what I mean? It's just in your head.
Yeah. You know, like stuff I post, like I was saying on TikTok, and it's stuff that I make fun of it. Common sense stuff, you know, and 99% of the followers I have, and I don't have a lot, you know, it's under 10,000, like when I was on Instagram. But 99% of the followers think it, you know, like it, or they agree with it. But there's always that 1% that just, like, you know, like I said, one woman, when I post that thing, get the fuck out of America if you don't love it. And it wasn't me saying it, was some guy on a video who was being interviewed. And, oh, you're one of them. Bye-bye, Steve. I told you before. And I'm like, okay.
Bye.
Block. Okay. Take care. Brush your hair. Good, you know. Have a good time. There, say, oh, you don't agree with that? If you don't love this country, get the fuck out. If you don't agree with that, there's something wrong with you, in my opinion. So if you don't agree with me and you don't want to follow me anymore, well, guess what? I'm going to lose so much sleep over that. Not, you know what I mean? I don't have time for nonsense.
Exactly. Why don't they try to take a shower once in a while so their shit don't stink more than ours, and then they can come and talk to us?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm the firm believer of, if you never put yourself in harm's way where you may come home under a fucking flag, don't talk shit about this country.
Yep.
You know.
Exactly.
And, you know,
I was born into a military family. Huh?
Yeah, that's just my opinion. I'm like, you have no right, in my opinion, to talk bad about this country until you put your ass on the line where you may come home in a box with a flag draped over you. Don't be talking shit until you put your ass on the line. And I don't know of any veteran that's ever talked shit about this country that wasn't mentally unstable about the American flag. They may have their opinions one way or another, but they would never talk trash about this country. You know, they would have never joined the military if they didn't love this country. You know, I give a lot of credit because, what is it, 1% of the country is in the service or served this country? 1%. Mm-hmm. They ain't a lot of people, you know?
No, but they like to yap their mouths out of their asses.
Yeah.
And it's sad. Like, I came, my background, not me per se, I wish I would have joined the military, but my family and my husband's family, we come from a military family. My dad, my grandfather, my great grandfather, my uncles, you know, I come from a very big background of military family. And that's why I do videos, you know, on the 4th of July, Independence Day. I mean, you name it, anything that has to do with our country, I do post videos. And again, if you don't like it, don't watch our shit. You don't need to click on it, okay? Because the title is right there before you click on it. And just keep your opinions to yourself, because when we start saying something back, they cry about it. Well, you need to have a thick skin if you're going to deal with somebody that's going to challenge you. If you're going to deal with somebody that's going to give you a taste of your own medicine, and you're going to cry about it. But don't sit there. You know, like 2 years ago, my first TikTok, I had a very big following. I had almost 30,000. And I'm saying big following because I had to start all over again. But I had almost 30,000 followers on it. In fact, one of the guys, he works at one of the grocery stores that I shop over here. He recognized me from my TikTok video. And he was like, I just want to say I agree with everything you're saying and this and that. And, you know, more power to you, blah, blah, blah. Like, so I put him on one of my TikToks and he was like, we need Trump back. And Trump is the only one that could. And this was last year. So TikTok ends up taking my whole, not just the videos, but they took my whole account. And I said, this is not going to stop me from shutting up. Yeah, there's professional level where we keep it professional. But then there's also, if you're going to stomp on our grounds and, you know, put Americans down and you're crying about, I'm going to move out because Trump's going to be in office, get the fuck out of our country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold back. Get the fuck out. If you're not happy, get out. Why are you still here? Why are you still using our country to make money? If you think you could do better, get out. You know what I mean? And so it's fucked up. It's crazy, the amount of craziness that's going on nowadays. And I don't watch the news anymore. I quit watching the news a while back. The only news I hear from is, of course, you know, my husband does that. So he watches it and he gives me updates on it. But other than that, unless it's something severe and serious, or yeah, we're going to go into World War III as long as this piece of shit is in office. And he's a fucking clown running a circus show.
No, totally. You know, and it's not just him. It's he doesn't even know what day it is. It's
not him. It's the people that have turned him into a puppet. He's a puppet. Simple as that.
It's sad. I mean, I don't believe that any one man can change things, but one man can make a difference. You know, Trump's not the Messiah, but
nope.
When you hear about what he wants to do, is if he gets back in office, right away turn the pipelines back on, deport all these rat bastards that came across here illegally, make the wall. You know what? Gas prices going back to $1.89 a gallon. That's what it was here in Florida. I'm like, okay. I just sold my truck because I can't afford the gas in the damn thing. Because I bought the truck when Trump was in office and I was paying $1.89 a gallon. Now it's like, you know, $600 a month for gas. Every time I go to the gas pump, I want to kill somebody. And I know who, you know, and I'm talking about this administration. Every time I go to the gas pump, I get, and if every American that goes to a gas pump doesn't get aggravated by what's going on, there's something wrong with them. Oh, it's okay. It's okay to pay, what, $7 for a gallon of milk? Or what are eggs up to now? It's insane.
I've seen eggs up to $18 a carton.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But, yep. You know, that's the world we're living in right now. Hopefully things will change. But
I think we need to start farming, Steve.
Yeah, trust me. I've thought about getting a couple of chickens.
Maybe a cow. I had. Before I moved here, because I didn't know the situation that was going to happen over here. I mean, I'm buying my own house next year. Hopefully during the re-election bullshit, that the prices will go down so I can actually finally buy my own house. But when I was looking to rent another house, I was like, I don't know, like, you know, chickens, sometimes they can be loud, and I had roosters, I had ducks. And I was like, okay, I'll get into the farming business. You know what I'm saying? And it's not easy. It's fun because I love my chickens and ducks and things like that. But I unfortunately had to rehome them.
Oh, let me tell you something. We were filming. I forget where the hell we were filming, but my hotel room was literally in the back of a, not a farm, I guess. They were like wild chickens.
Yeah.
And we worked late, you know, sometimes to 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, and then my call the next day is at maybe 10 o'clock. And these fucking roosters would be cackling. And I'm like, oh, my God, what is with these fucking chickens over here? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I told the desk, I said, you got to give me a different room. I said, just put me someplace where I can't hear these chickens. Oh, we're sorry, but, you know, we're sorry. And, you know, when you're there for a week, it gets old.
Yeah.
So I was like, you got to do me a favor. You got to find me a place where there's no chickens. Is there any room in this hotel that I won't hear these fucking roosters early in the morning? And she goes, I know. She says, I know it's a problem. I says, and she's like, we can't move you till Tuesday. And this was like Saturday. I'm like, you're not doing me. I leave on Wednesday. So what the fuck good is that going to do me? You moving me on Tuesday, you know? And I'm like, why me? It's, you know, I got to be, I was like on the second floor of this, I don't know, courtyard by Marriott, whatever the hell it was. And then the whole back. And I don't know where the hell we were. I don't know if we were in California someplace or somewhere in the Midwest, but these, I'm like, are they kidding me? Somebody's got to do something. So the desk is like, well, they're wild. They're wild. They don't belong to anybody. Well, somebody knows who these chickens are. I mean, can you guys, you know, round them up and put them in, you know, do something?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So it's funny. I called Hilton. I said to them, I said, listen, I'm a gold member, whatever it was, the Hilton Honors. I'm like, I was up all night because of these fucking chickens for a week.
Yeah.
You know.
Give me a place to stay.
So they're, oh, I'm sorry about that. So they gave me like 10,000 points on my thing. Oh, because of these chickens. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. Yeah. Not even enough for a night stay, but I'm like, all right, I'll just add it on.
That's funny. When I had my chickens, here's a really funny story for you. So we had this nosy Karen, which, you know, when shit happens, you never think it's going to happen to you. You just watch other people shit and you're like, ha, you know, nope, it happened to me. It happens to the best of us sometimes. I ended up having this nosy Karen for the last 3+ years I was living there. And she would, I mean, I'm talking about, Steve, I'm talking about the nosiest of nosiest. Like, she even told me, like, when my husband, before he went to work, he'd get up every morning between 4 and 5 in the morning. He would let my dogs out in the backyard, you know, to go and do their duty and then go back in before he went to work, which did me a favor because then I didn't have to do it. But then she would start describing, oh, your husband came out without any shirt on. And, you know, my husband has tattoos and she was describing it. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, come on, you know, you're nosy. I get it, but don't go too far. Oh, he was so tired. He came out without any slippers or shoes on. He was barefoot. I'm like, shut the fuck up. But that's how nosy she was. Okay. 4 or 5 in the morning, she notices little details. Okay, fine. And then I got back at her, not purposely, but my chickens and my roosters and my ducks actually helped me out because they worked. They got up at 5 in the morning to get, you know, ready for work. And they had to be at work between 6 and 6:30. And the funny thing is, they would get pissed off that on their days off on weekends, which is my weekends off too, and I don't mind because they're my animals, you know, I like hearing them. It's weird when you own them. You're like, oh, it doesn't really bother me, but it bothers everybody else.
Mm.
It came to a point where they were going crazy on weekends, 4 or 5 in the morning. My roosters, my chickens, and my ducks will all go off at the same time. Oh, it was the best when I would hear her coming out, bitching and crying. She didn't have the boss to tell me anything. But she would open her door and yell to her husband. And the funny thing is, her husband's name is Joe, Tracy and Joe. And she, and I don't give a shit if she hears this. She would come out and she would be like, Joe, their fucking roosters are at it again. And it's my day off. And like, she would cry about it. I'm like, well, that teaches you a lesson to be nosy. You want to be nosy any other time? You could be nosy hearing my fucking roosters waking your ass up.
Yeah, we were filming an episode in Sicily Island, Louisiana, and it was mm-hmm. They had a cold snap, and it was cold, and this family, they had a broken window, and they didn't fix it, so the house was freezing, but they had a duck that was in a, you know, those little baby pools that are only like a foot high.
Yeah,
they had a duck outside the living room where the window was broke. That unless somebody was standing next to the duck, he wouldn't stop quacking. So we couldn't film because it was interfering with the sound. All you heard was this duck quacking. They had to put some poor production assistant standing there next to this duck for company, so that we could film. I'm like, why don't we just move the duck? You know. So somebody had to stand by the duck because it wanted company. It was the Aww. Funniest thing ever. But this duck wouldn't shut up, and I couldn't get the interview done with the client because, you know, it was interfering with the sound. I'm like, can't we just talk about the duck on camera? Where I could say something like, oh, what's up with your duck out there? You know. And the producer's like, no, we can't do that because we can't edit and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you can. If you can edit and everything else, you could do the ducks.
Oh, it was so funny. And this poor guy, because it was freezing out there.
Oh.
And this poor kid that was just a production assistant had to sit there and stand. So this duck, just to shut him up. I'm like, only the dead files. That makes for a long day.
Dead files.
Yeah. It makes for a long day. A long day even longer because the duck wouldn't shut the fuck up.
That's too funny. I want people to, I hope Death Files come back, number one. I hope they do.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I'm not hopeful. Let's put it that way. But, you know, they're just, it's new regime.
Hopefully they do.
Say again?
I said, hopefully they do.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to work with Cindy again. I know people think Amy's on a break. She's not on a break. She ain't coming back. But if we do continue, I know Cindy and I, we talk all the time. Matter of fact, she's in Indonesia now doing a tour. But, you know, she wants to obviously come back. And I'd love to work with her again. It was just an absolute pleasure working with her. And she's the consummate professional. She's really good at what she does, so. We have good chemistry on camera from what fans have been saying. You know, I only started watching the show again when Cindy came on because I haven't watched myself in probably 7 or 8 years. I don't like watching myself. But, it's really interesting to see the comparison between her walk and Amy's walk. You know, and she doesn't curse every 2 seconds like Amy. We can't understand what she's saying. They got a bleeper every 5 seconds, but. It's one of those things where it's you know, she really brings a lot to the table, and it'd be a shame if we didn't continue. But, you know, it's not up to us. It's in the hands of, you know, the network executives, and they do what they want.
Right.
Unfortunately. But, you know, fans are very happy with Cindy. I mean, I had a couple of naysayers like, oh, I can't watch anymore without Amy. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know.
Well, don't judge a book by its cover. If you don't know somebody, then, you know, maybe take the time to get to know that person and get used to it and see what they do.
People are just closed-minded. Yeah, people are just closed-minded. And the
comments about me being on the show have been very positive. It's always, like I said, it's always going to be that
1%. People don't like change, and I get that.
And 2.5 men, right?
And when I asked him,
I watched it, but
it wasn't the same. So I didn't really care for it, and it didn't last long after that. But it would be a real shame if Cindy and I didn't continue doing what we do. But we'll see. I mean, it's been shit. What are we in October? It's been 9 months since we finished filming. And
end of October.
They need to get
their asses back on track, Steve.
Well, you know what? New network, new people. They fired everybody at the old network from Travel Channel. So it's one of those things where, you know, new company comes in and they have their own way of thinking. And we're streaming on all these other channels. And obviously we have new fans because I'm getting all these new questions I'm hit up on. And, you know, I try to answer the fans on, I do little videos here and there and I'll answer them on the, you know, on a comment. And a lot of questions, I'm like, oh shit, how do you not know this? And then I realized these are new fans and I've been doing these little videos. And of course, I do them while I'm in the car. I got this thing where I could just attach the phone and video while I'm driving because I don't like, you know, it's just conversational for me. And I got one woman. Well, that's very dangerous to you be filming while you're driving. I'm like, do you see me fucking not paying attention to the road? Am I looking at the camera?
Oh, God.
You know, there's always that, like you said, that one Karen. And, you know, and I commented, really, lady, do I look like I'm not paying attention to the road?
Yeah.
You know, and she didn't answer back. But, I mean, I'm a grown-ass man. I know what the fuck I'm doing. I can do two things at once. You know, I can drive and talk like you talk on the phone to somebody while you're driving. That's on the Bluetooth. It's the same thing. It's just I'm videoing. And if you go on my TikTok, you'll see I do a lot of these videos while I'm driving. That's the only time I have 5 minutes to myself where I can, you know, interact with the fans and talk about, you know, stupid shit, you know, funny stuff that they like to hear. So you got to get that one. Got to get that one. It's just like, you know, you shouldn't be driving and videotaping at the same time. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm a grown-ass man, you know.
Exactly. Number one, don't tell a grown person what to do.
That's number one. Yeah. Number two, it's obvious I'm paying attention to the road while I'm talking. So that's the other thing. You know, if I stop at a light, I'll talk to the camera. You know what I mean? But I'm like, really? You got nothing better to do but worry about me driving and doing a video? Because you got to put your 2 cents into it.
You know, just because you can't multitask, it doesn't mean the rest of the world cannot.
Yeah. It's pretty ironic.
I can chew bubblegum and walk at the same time.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I can actually have a conversation while I'm painting and doing other shit. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for God's sakes, I do readings in my car on Bluetooth, on speaker, while I'm driving from one location to another. Why waste that time when I could squeeze two things in one? That's called multitasking. People can drive, talk. You know, it's just like when you have a passenger, you're talking to your passenger while you're driving. So you guys are saying that we cannot have the camera there talking, which is the same thing as talking to a passenger next door. So next, you know, maybe Steve, hey, I found a solution for everything. Mm. We cannot drive with the passenger next to us.
Oh, is that right?
It should be a single person car from now on. No. I'm not putting those ideas in their heads. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. it's common sense. Again, goes back to common sense. It's free. You know, when you talk to a passenger, it's the same thing as talking to a camera. So have a little respect. Just because you can't do two things at once doesn't mean the rest of us cannot do it. So stop it. You know what I mean? Just stop. I do have a question for myself before I ask another question. I'm going to hold my question at the end. I'm going to hold it at the end.
Your question at the end?
I have a question at the end. No, it's not what we talked about, and it's not personal. It's something that I personally have been wanting to know. It's not bad, I promise. You know me. I don't talk about bad shit publicly. But I've had people ask, what happens to the clients after you guys leave? Like, do you guys help them out at the end? Or this is not my question, so please don't hold it against
me. No.
It's been brought up many times.
It's an honest question. I never got involved with what they call aftercare. That was something that Amy always attempted to do. Whether she followed through or not, I couldn't answer. The producers would always follow up with them to see if they were doing stuff. They implemented this little thing where they do a video at the end of the thing and saying that we did this and that and everything is a lot better now. Some clients just don't take the advice and people get annoyed by that. And again, it's like, well, all right. If you live in a home with a leaky roof and you don't fix it, whose fault is that? That's your fault. Yeah. If you know you need a roofer and we're telling you you need a roofer to fix your leak and you don't fix it, that's on you. You know, that's the only way I can equate it. It's just, you have this problem. We told you what it is, who's doing it, and how to get rid of it, and you don't want to do it. But Amy used to try to hook them up with people. Whether they followed through with that or if it fell through with Amy on Amy's end, I don't know. But I know for a fact that Cindy, after the reveal, she'll hook them up with people she may know in the area that could help. And if not, she'll tell them this is who you should contact. They'll be able to help you find somebody that can do this. Because let's face it, we're all over the country. Amy and Cindy can't know a million people all over the country that do this kind of work. But it's a small community, obviously. You know that. And it's basically one of those things where this is what you need. This is probably the best place for you to go and get this help. Or if they knew somebody in the area personally that could help, they'd give them their contact information. But, you know, a lot of clients do take the advice and do get help. And some just don't. Some just want to know what's going on, and they just, you know, they don't want to, you know, they don't go through it. I mean, Amy used to tell them stuff like, you got to wash every wall in the house every day for 3 months straight. Like, who the fuck is going to do that? I mean, tell me I got to scrub my walls, every wall in the house? I mean, you know, I'm not doing that, you know. But, you know, you got to live there. You know, if I called you in and you told me I got to wash every wall in my house every day for 3 months straight, I'm going to tell you, all right, I'll deal with it. But I'm not washing my walls every day for 3 months straight. You know, right. But she used to come up with some off-the-wall stuff. And, you know, I get it. I mean, I used to look at Amy sometimes. I'm like, they got to do what? You know, you got to get a left-handed priest that speaks Yiddish and, you know, and he's got to eat a bagel while he's cleansing the house, you know, some off the wall shit like that, you know, a chaos magician. I never heard of these things. Right. So people look at it like, what the hell are you talking about? You know,
right.
It's like, but again, the aftercare is something I never got involved with because I had enough shit to do. And 9 out of 10 times I'm working on the next case or the next 2 or 3 cases, basically. I'm doing research on 2-3 cases at a time. And so I don't have time to worry about the stuff on her end to deal with that. So it's between the producers and the mediums to take care of that. So, and again, right, like I said, if they don't follow up, that's basically on them. And people be like, oh, don't you get mad? I'm like, how can I get mad? I don't live there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember catching a guy that robbed somebody at gunpoint, getting the gun, going back to the guy that just got robbed or the woman, and they don't want to press charges. Meanwhile, I just risked my life to catch this fucking guy, but you don't want to press charges now. I mean, you lock him up for the gun. He's getting collared for that, but he's not taking a robbery collar. So right. It used to bother me early on when I was a rookie, but after a while, I'm like, you know what? I get it. You know what? You got enough trauma, got your purse back. You know, what can I tell you? It is what it is. You know, I don't take it personal. And I know fans get mental when clients don't listen to what Amy or Cindy has to, tell them what to do. And it's frustrating. I get it. But it's one of those things that, you know, you just can't force people to help themselves.
Right. I mean, I think the reason, because, you know, I'm not going to go into a ton of questions that they have asked in details, because sometimes it's nobody's business but what the show does. But, you know, it's between you guys and the clients, and there are confidentiality that falls into place. So technically, it's not really the public's place to know exactly what's going on behind closed doors, because, again, these are real families, real cases, and
the public doesn't really need to know the details. The other problem with that is when they edit these shows, they'll call up, have you done anything Amy told you to do? And if they say not yet, according, as far as the fucking show's concerned, and the editors, they'll put the clients have not done anything, the activity continues. But the next day, they could have somebody come in and cleanse the house. But as far as it's written in stone, as far as the television is concerned, they're not going to go back and re-edit that. It costs too much money. So a lot of times when it says the activity continues, a month after that, everything's fine.
Right.
So that's the other issue, where probably 50% of the time when it says the activity continues, they did follow up. They just didn't do it in the timely manner that the producers called up and said, hey, is everything okay now? No, we haven't gotten to it yet. Okay, activity continues.
Because there's only a certain amount of time that the show can spend on each case.
Well, you got a deadline for how long before they have to produce the finished product to the network.
Right.
So if they turn around and say, oh, they didn't do anything, well, I don't know what to tell you. That's not on us. That's on the client for not getting it done in a timely manner. But now you're making us look like we didn't do anything to help them. You know, so and a lot of times, you know, some clients I kept in touch with over the years, I still do, actually. Very few. I mean, out of 213 clients, I probably still in touch with maybe 5-6 tops that I still, you know, talk to once in a while through Messenger and stuff like that. But listen, I know for a fact that I find out later on, oh, yeah, they got everything taken care of, but it was after the fact when the deadline was to put the ending for the show. Instead of putting something like clients have not contacted anybody yet, but they will, which would answer some fucking questions, they just put the activity continues. Okay. So now it looks like they're not taking Amy's advice or Cindy's advice, which 50% of the time is not accurate. So that's another problem. That I, you know, but it's TV. We can only do so much. We're not in charge of that. And it's money. It's deadlines, right? They got to get this stuff out. I just wish they would go about it differently and, you know, put something like, well, you know, the clients
are still
looking for a chaos magician. And the activity continues. So, you know, stuff like that is frustrating on my end as well, because it's like, well, I did my job. Amy did her job. Cindy did her job. They didn't do their job. And everybody thinks it's our fault.
Right.
But it is what it
is. Well, my personal question was, based off of the question, and this question has come up many times before with the public, and I was like, I can't answer it because I don't know. But, you know, next time I talk to you or have you on an episode, maybe we can kind of see what happens. And you just cleared it up that there are, basically answer my question, there are, you know, limits to everything. Yeah. And there's a timeline because, you know, me having clients, I have to go boom, 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 boom. Like, I don't have time to waste on something going back and back and back. But my thing was, my question was with this following with the public's question was, why would the producers put they're still looking for a psychic medium? Yeah, I get that Amy or Cindy or anybody that works in the production, you know, say that, hey, guess what? On the show, we're going to recommend somebody behind closed doors. Why would they even put that on there? Like, oh, they're still searching for a priest, or they're still searching for a psychic medium. Is that because, like, again, going on a timeline, like, you guys don't have the time to sit there and, like, filter through everybody that you think might be able to help them? You know what I'm saying?
Well, plus, you know, it's a time thing. And honestly, when a client has a question about history stuff or anything I come up with, if they have questions about that, I'm always willing to answer it because it's black and white.
Right.
You know, my stuff's pragmatic. I mean, when it comes to the other thing, I have no contacts when it comes to the paranormal field. Even though I may work on a television show that involves the paranormal, I don't have people I know, because that's not my thing. You know, I reach out to cops, I reach out to historians, stuff like that. That's who my go-to people are. I don't have a list of, you know, that to me, that's on Amy, you know, and the producers to come up with somebody for these people, you know, to help. But, you know, the other thing is some people get lazy. You know, they hear what's going on. Maybe it's not as serious as they said it was. And they're like, oh, I guess we can live with this. We'll have to figure it out. I'll get to it when I get to it. You know, life gets in the way, too. Who knows what's going on in people's lives?
Right.
You know, half these clients have marital issues, let alone paranormal issues.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like we're therapists on top of being investigators, you know, a lot of
the
time. I
know the feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there seems to be a comparison that people are having problems at home. They blame the paranormal for it. And I'm always the guy, like, is this all bullshit? Is this paranormal? I mean, is it just husband and wife crap? Oh, no, it's the paranormal doing this. Okay. Whatever.
Right.
If you want to believe that.
No, the paranormal does have some kind of impact. Not
100%.
Not in the marital stuff, but, like, you know, like, I don't know, something personal about you changing your mood, you know, now you have mood
right,
swings,
yeah,
and anger, things like that. Yeah. But other than the spiritual side, people need to realize, listen, we're taking care of the paranormal, because that's what you contacted the show about. You know what I'm saying? Because there's some paranormal going on. I say this to my clients all the time too. I will take care of the paranormal side, the spiritual side, but, you know, according to the public, if you ask them, I'm wearing 30 different hats.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. I'm a therapist. I'm a counselor. I'm a psychologist, blah, blah, blah. And the list goes on. But in reality, just because we sit there chit-chatting with you for a few minutes, it doesn't mean all your personal problems are going to go away. And people need to understand that. There's a difference between a personal problem, and there's a difference between the paranormal. And whatever advice we give you, if you decide you're still searching for it and the show puts it on, and I'm hoping I can kind of contribute at answering the questions as well. Whatever advice the show gives you, that's it. Same thing with me, because I could relate to it a lot. Like, I go through this shit a lot too. Like, can we hire you to help us? Sure. You know, there's a waiting list at times. That's perfectly fine. And just as much as that, we have to be patient with you, you got to be patient with us. But again, we are running on a time limit. And I'm not going to stop and be like, okay, well, this is what, you know. No. It goes boom, 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 boom. And if we're on a time limit, then that's what it is. Because, yeah, you know, I mean, we're not the ones coming to you. You come to us for help. And if we help you on the paranormal side and give you advice, if we can jump in and help you out, that's fine. If not, then guess what? Whatever advice that's been given on the show or by anybody you communicate with and contact for help, then maybe you should start listening to those advices and not turning around saying, well, the show didn't help, or I'm still waiting for it. You're waiting because you're just waiting because you decide to wait. You know exactly what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, and like I said, life gets in the way. I don't judge these clients for not doing what they're advised to do. Right. You know, if you have cancer and you don't go to the doctor and get treatment, whose fault is that?
Yours.
Not cancer's fault. Nope. Not the doctor's fault. So if Amy or Cindy says you need to get a medium in here that's an alpha female or an alpha male or whatever the hell they talk about and do this, this, and this, and you don't do that, you know, it's not hard to find people if you really search really well. If you, you know, the internet's here for a reason, right? That's how you find people.
We're all over the place, yes.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of times Amy would have told them, listen, there's a what do you call it, shop in town where they sell crystals and all that bullshit, right? There's right. a place selling crystals in town. That person knows a lot of the people that are in this field. You should go talk to them. Now, if you don't go do that, whose fault is that? It's not Amy's fault. It's not my fault. Yeah. It's not the show's fault. But my problem is a lot of people do the stuff that Amy or Cindy would say, and at the end of it, it'd be like the activity continues. Because they called up and there's a 5 minute, you know, there's a 5 month period that when the show's aired, filmed, they got 5 months to finish editing and deliver it to the network. And if they don't deliver it on time, they're not getting paid. So right. I think 5 months is a long time after the investigation ends for you to find somebody.
To find someone to help you. Yeah. Because you were given that advice to do so. And whose fault is it when you fail to do it?
Yeah, well, exactly.
You know, we can only take care of the spiritual side. Amy and Cindy and everybody else out there, we can all take care of the spiritual side. They need to understand that the physical problem, the physical issues, and you know, we give the advice. If you don't want to take care of it yourself, whose fucking fault is that?
Well, yours. That's my whole point.
It has nothing to do with anyone else.
Yeah. Well, that's
you
my
know,
whole
you
point.
You do your job and get out of there, and that's it.
And I feel bad for the clients. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, well, you know, don't go blaming Cindy or Amy for you not, you know, taking care of business. And you can't blame the producers.
Exactly.
I mean, they're just doing their job, doing a show, producing, doing what they do. And, you know, it is what it is. But I understand people that watch the show being frustrated by that. I would be frustrated, too, watching them. Well, how come they never take the advice? Well, it's not our fault that they're not listening, you know. You can only do so much.
Everybody has a job to do. And just because you don't, you know, you contact somebody, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be taken care of by that one person. Sometimes it takes multiple people with different expertise to jump in and help out. And if you don't want to do your job after, you know, giving the advice over and over again of if this is exactly what needs to be done, then that's on you. If you allow the activities to continue, that's on you. So, you know, 5 months, like you said, if they don't have somebody within the 5 months to help them, then that's on them.
Well, you think about it. If you came to my house and I talked about, if I have a leak on my roof and you don't fix it for 5 months, whose fault is that? It's not Amy's fault. It's not Cindy's fault. It's on the client. So listen, yeah. They got, like I said, they got to live there. I don't. So.
You know what I always tell people? You're absolutely right. I always tell people this. Sometimes, you know, you can't be cheap. Okay. If you're cheap, you will not go far in life. God knows how much money we have spent just to live a comfortable life and how much asses we had to bust of ours just to make a good living for ourselves. Right. Everybody has to work. There's nothing that's free handed to you. If it's free handed to you, then there's a motive behind it. And I'm pretty sure you cannot afford that either. So you got to invest a little bit. Okay. Well, the price is in order to get a lot in life. So if you got to, for example, if you got to pay a little bit to get something done, like your roofing job, for example, then you have to, you know, unless you want to continue to have a roof over your head, you're not going to have any of that because you want to be cheap. That's it. Well, I mean, everything, there's a price to pay for everything. That's what I believe in. You pay for everything.
You got to understand something. We don't charge them because the show pays for it, right?
No, not you. I'm saying everybody else that want to help them out.
Yeah, but they're getting a free investigation.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
They're getting paid for us to use their electricity in their homes. They get paid for any, you know, we got to pay for permits and all this other stuff. And I'm not saying that's any excuse. The network's making money off of it, but they're getting a free investigation. If you got to shell out a few hundred dollars to get a medium to come in, and you don't want to pay the money, well, that's on you.
Exactly.
You know? So
that's,
you know,
what I'm
nobody
saying.
Nobody works for free.
Nope.
You know. So if you got to get, I don't expect a roofer to come to my house and go up and fix my roof and not pay. Right or wrong, everybody has an expertise you got to pay for. So if a medium wants to charge you a certain amount of money, or whoever comes into your house to do something, you're paying for their service and their expertise. You don't want to pay for that after you got a free investigation. Or somebody came to your house and inspected the house and said, this is where your problem is. It's right here. You got to get, and he did it for free and told you what's wrong, but you don't pay to get it fixed. That's on you. So I don't know if that answers the questions for the fans, but that's basically what it boils down to.
It does. You got to invest a little bit in order to get a lot in life. Nothing gets free handed to you, no matter what. If we're not, you know, you go to the grocery store and you're freaking starving, right? You pick up a few things, you get to the register, they ring you up, you don't have the amount that you have to pay. There's no way in hell that you could say, I'm going to write you an IOU. And then the next time I get paid next week, I'll bring you the money. They're not going to go for that. Same thing with psychic mediums that people need to understand. Yes, they do get, I mean, a lot of my clients, they do get a free investigation as well. But at the same time, when it comes to the work, the actual work that we have to do physically in order to take care of the problem, of course, is going to charge. Because what they need to understand is, we as psychic mediums, not just me, Cindy, Amy, anybody else out there that do this job, even just the investigations itself, we are opening up ourselves to the spiritual side. That's dangerous enough as it is, yet alone taking care of the problem that's going on, which is, you know, whether you have a demonic attachment, poltergeist activity, some kind of spell put on you, anything that has to do with spirituality, we are risking ourselves to put ourselves into that, you know, position. And I have seen Amy and Cindy, Cindy not so much yet because, you know, she's new, but back in the day, Amy, like, you know, getting headaches, feeling nauseous, feeling like every bone in your body hurts. That's not an act. And that's what people need to understand. When we're doing investigations, we are throwing ourselves into the wolves. And of course, we're going to come back leading the pack. But until we do that, we need to take care of that situation. And so when we're getting, you know, spiritually attacked, which we all do, we're all human beings. We don't have superpowers to, you know, be like, oh, you can't touch us. No, everybody is touchable when it comes to the spiritual side. But at the same time, if we're opening those doors for us to be able to do a, you know, real investigation, a real case, you know, taking a real case on, people need to understand that every single person out there that's in the paranormal field, whether you're just an investigator or a psychic medium investigator, or whatever you deal with when it comes to the paranormal side, you're risking yourself. Yeah. And people need to respect that. People need to start understanding and respecting it. It's not just like, hey, let's turn the ghost raider on, paranormal puck, or whatever the hell they call it, you know, all those tools out there that they use, because I use myself. I don't give a shit about anything else. But, you know, you come out and you're like, okay, well, do this and do that and blah, blah, blah. Number one, you're antagonizing it. And number two, if you do end up getting attacked, you're risking yourself by trying to help other people. And people need to start respecting and understanding that. You know what I mean? Plus the detective side of you being a detective, because I love the way you work when I see you, you know, looking at people, like getting into the details of a case. That's where it starts. It starts from the root of the problem until it gets.